uses is he tries to convince that God is not as good as what God actually is. Try to convince people that God is not as holy as God actually is. Try to get people to deny the existence of God. And so we're going to be in Psalm 25 today. We're going to be talking about it. And there's a lot of mercy and a lot of truth. And we talked about Psalm 25 before when we were talking, I believe, about the faithfulness of God, if I'm not mistaken, or the fact that he's righteous. So we're gonna go back and view this. And again, let me just set the stage for you. How this came to impact my heart was a person that I know got contacted, and there was a situation that had arisen at church, and it was something that was, you know, didn't exactly go the way that the person wanted it to go. And there were some things that were said in that process. And so that caused that person to ask their friend a question about it. That friend went to this other person, asked me about it. That person asked me about it. So I'm not here to pretend like I have all of the facts. There's a verse in the Bible. This is a Bob Arthur's paraphrase version. There's a person that presents their case and seems right until the other person gets up and presents their case. I know that's not the exact verbiage, but it is the essence of what that verse says. And what it means is, just because you hear a person say something doesn't mean that that is the gospel truth, unless that person is Jesus. If it's the word of God and it says that, it is the gospel truth. But too often there are perspectives, there are feelings that are involved, and things like that. So we need to figure out, how do we discern God when we are talking about spiritual matters? How do we discern God when things are going very difficulty, there with great difficulty in our lives? There was a day last week where I went to bed the night before. I had my day all planned. But I pastor. I pastor people. People have problems. People have challenges. People get sick. People die. And it was happening en masse on that particular day. There were a lot of situations, a lot of praying that needed to be done, hospital visits that needed to be made, and things like that. And my day ended up looking a lot different than what I had expected. So how do you handle inconveniences? How do you handle disruptions? How do you handle heartbreak? You know, some of the people that were sick, some of the people that died had, you know, people that loved them. That's traumatic. And, you know, from personal experience, I can tell you the devil loves to step in on occasions like that and try and undermine the word of God, the credibility of God, the nature and the character of God. And we just need to go back to the word of God and say, no, this is the God that I serve. So let me read Psalm 25 for you. I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's 22 verses. It says, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindnesses, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Look on my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all their troubles. So, today we want to talk about Psalm 25, verse number 10, specifically this passage here. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. Remember, we're talking about things that are partnered with seeking the truth. And whenever you seek truth, you are going to find that you are going to not only find truth, you are going to find mercy. So some of the things that we have talked about thus far is when you seek truth, you find sincerity. Whenever you seek truth, you find truth and peace. Whenever you seek truth, you find truth and justice, and you find truth and faithfulness. Those are some of the partners. And here we're going to see that when you find truth, that you find mercy. So in Psalm 25, we see in verse number 4, show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths. Let's see if I can find this. In verse number 6, remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your truth. In verse number 7, according to your mercy, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. In verse number 9, it says, and the humble he teaches his way, the humble he guides in justice. Verse number 10, we're going to focus on. It goes on. So there's a whole lot of teaching. There's a whole lot of showing the way. There's a whole lot of mercy and a whole lot of truth. And verse number 16, it says, turn yourself to me and have mercy on me. And so you see, it's a major theme here in Psalm 25. Well, Psalm 25 says this, all of God's paths, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. That word all is a powerful word. It means that every path that God walks on, every path that he utilizes, is characterized by mercy and it's characterized by truth. Now, we can look at it and we can embrace the truth aspect. It is, according to the scriptures, it is impossible for God to lie. The reason being is because he cannot deny himself. He is truth personified. But it also says that all the paths of the Lord are not only noted by truth, but they are noted, recognized by his mercy. Okay? So let's look up just a little bit further in verse number 4, and it says, God, teach me your paths. Now, I come from a rural area. We lived in a neighborhood. When I entered high school, we moved out into the country. And I tell people, you could see civilization from where we lived, but that was it. We lived out in the country. So I walked a mile each way to the bus stop in high school. And on the way home, I didn't notice it so much of a morning, But on the way home, I would stop and have a little worship experience with some of the horses that belonged to the neighbor that were in the pasture. And so I would come and I would stop, and they'd come up and I'd pet them, and I'd start singing, you know, some of the songs that we had sung in youth group. And so that was the way it was. It was very, very country. If you've ever been out in the country, you find that if there's an area that is not being mowed, if it is not being manicured, if it is not being taken care of, that it becomes unwieldy very quickly. We had a piece of property one time, and I mean, it could, the things that were growing in that yard could grow 6 foot tall in a short period of time. I was amazed when they showed me pictures of when it was mowed and how it was when we purchased the property. It was like, wow, we'd better make sure that we take care of this. You see, things that are left untended to have a tendency to become overgrown, and they revert back to a state of wilderness. Okay? And so how does a path get developed? How does a path get developed? Well, when we first moved to Florida, we lived in Palm Bay. And this was back before GPS was a popular thing. We weren't really from Palm Bay. And we learned in parts of Palm Bay that there were roads. And that same road, it formed like a loop. And so if somebody told you they lived on that road, you needed to know which direction that they lived on, because you could end up in two different areas pretty quickly. And so I think I remember the name of that company. I won't say it, that built Palm Bay. And I came up with a theory. I said, I think I know what happened. I think that a long time ago that there was a dog that was chasing a rabbit, and the rabbit ran through this brush pile, and, you know, dogs and wild animals kept chasing this rabbit, and it just kept choosing the same path. And pretty soon there was a guy that came by on a horse, and he said, you know what, it kind of looks like there's a little path that's going through this area here. And he drove his horse through the path that the rabbit had created. And a little while later, you know, they had developed, you know, wagons and things like that. And they said, well, it looks like the easiest route is to follow this path that the horse had created. And then when they came along and they put the roads in place, they said, well, it looks to me like the most convenient thing to do is to follow the path that is already established. And that path was probably, you know, it just, I'm having fun here a little bit. Okay. I think the same engineer designed the roads in Orlando and Deltona. You know, it just, like, if you don't know where you're going, I could throw Lakeland in there too. If you don't know where you're going, you're going to end up someplace you don't want to be. But the paths become developed because they are utilized over and over and over again. You don't develop a path by using it the first time. You develop a path by using it over and over and over again. And the more you use it, the more you want to clear the path, that you want to make the pathway of the Lord smooth. You want to make it a means of travel that is convenient. It's not going to be perilous. It's not going to damage your clothing or anything like that. And so David cries out to God, God, I want you to teach me your paths. That involves a personal relationship. And he said, God, I want to know how you operate. I want to understand your process. I want to know how you walk. And here it says in verse number 10, that every single path that the Lord takes is a path of mercy and truth. So when he is dealing with us spiritually, he uses a path that's filled with truth and filled with the mercy, the chesed, the loving kindness, the goodness, the mercy, the favor of God. He uses all of that. And so when I understand what is going on and I am walking this path, when he's leading me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake, when he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, I know that he's going to deal with me on that path. He's going to lead me on that path in a way that is going to be truthful, and it's going to be merciful. And so I do not allow for seeds that the enemy might sow into my life. I don't allow those seeds to be sown on that path that would impugn the character of God. Every path that God takes. Now, there is a caveat here, and that is this: to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. So that means that everything that he does when dealing with covenant people, when he's dealing with people of the word, that he's going to deal with me, he's going to deal with you in a manner that is truthful and also is merciful. Every single path. So what I did when the person came to me and they were saying, this is how the church leadership dealt with them in this situation. And so please understand, I'm a person that's in church leadership. I've had to deal with people. I have dealt with people sometimes in accordance with this passage, and there's sometimes that I've missed it. There are some times where people get me at a moment where I'm focused in another direction and something comes up and it's unpleasant to deal with. And if I'm not careful, my flesh can get in and I don't deal with them the same way that God would deal with them in truth and in mercy. I could deal with them in truth, but miss the mercy part. There have been times I've dealt with people in mercy and missed the truth part. Not that I lied to them. I just didn't get down to the root cause of the problem. And so I told this person, I said, what you need to pass along to your friend is this, that if God is in this situation, that God will deal with them truthfully, and he will also deal with them mercifully. So I will tell you that at times we've got to first be willing to admit the truth in our life before we experience the mercy of God. In God's court system, you don't walk in and just automatically admit, I'm not guilty. That's not the way to find mercy. Oh, you're not guilty. Well, we have eyewitnesses. We have all sorts of physical evidence. We've got audio evidence. We've got video evidence. We've got your fingerprints all over it. We've got the victim's DNA all over you. And you say that you're not guilty? Well, I think that's just a waste of legal resources, in my opinion. I don't understand why people do that. When I come before God, I need to come recognizing I'm the sinner. God's not the sinner. God's paths are not only truth and merciful, they're also perfect. And so I need to just come and say, God, it's true. Let me tell you, the devil's the accuser of the brethren. There are many times that we think that his accusations are going to be unfounded, ungrounded, and they're going to be unfactual. Sometimes the devil was an eyewitness to some of the things that you did and some of the things that I did, and his accusation could be factually accurate, but omit the truth of repentance and forgiveness and favor and mercy that's been shown to you by God. At that point in time, it is no longer a valid argument. So I tell people, We as saints, we need to quit doing the devil's bidding. We need to quit accusing the brethren. That's what God, that's what the devil does. We need to do what God does, and that is live in truth and live in mercy. It is what he does. It is how he operates. Every area of his life, he operates that way to those who are walking according to his word and according to his covenant. So, spiritually, what does that mean? That means that when God leads me, when God guides me, and when we say, God, teach me your ways, and he says, let's go for a walk, and we start walking on this path, that he's going to share truth. He's going to share truth sometimes that is pleasant to deal with. Sometimes he will share truth that is unpleasant to deal with. It's not because he's trying to be mean. It's because he's trying to be harsh. But instead, he is showing us the pathway he uses so that we can use that same path. And we can experience the mercy of God so we can practice the mercy of God. Now, let's look at some other situations. Sometimes my wife and I have fallen on financial difficult times. And it would be during those times that we would be open for learning a lot more than some people might. And so God says, okay, here's the truth of how you got into this situation. And then he would demonstrate the mercy as to how he was going to get out, how we were going to get out. Why? Because it's the path that God uses. God's not looking to keep his paths secret. He's not interested in a secret passageway. He's looking for you to know it's Jesus. Everything Jesus does in your life is truthful. It's merciful, and it's filled with the grace of God. Everything he does. Let's look at something here over the last couple of years where we have been battling COVID and we've been battling all sorts of other things. And we look around and we see that the way that the world is operating, and if we're not careful, we can think that that is the way that we need to operate. Until we come back to Psalm 25:10, and we understand that our God and our Savior deals with his people, his covenant people, in truth and mercy, so that we can demonstrate that we too are walking on the path of truth and mercy. It says every path, every single path. So if you are evaluating a situation in your life. I've had people that have said all sorts of things to me. And the immature thing to do is, look, that's uncomfortable. I don't want to hear it. Just shut your mouth and we'll move on from here. Now, the biblical way to deal with that is to bring those words into the presence of God and say, God, I understand that you can use people. People are a gift from you into my life, and I'm a gift from people into their life. And so, God, I understand, Psalm 25:10, that all your paths to me as a person who is walking in covenant with you and in accordance with your word, that everything you're going to deal with me in my life is according to truth and mercy. So, God, is there anything true here? And God, is this an example of your mercy? So I've had some very dear people that I've lost over the past couple of years. My mother died less than 2 years ago. Okay, now out of all the people that you have that come into your life, mamas make a big impact. My wife, my kids, they make a big impact. And I will tell you that we had prayed the prayer of faith for a number of situations that had come into my mother's life. You know, she dealt with health issues a long, long time. And you know, let a lot of people see the goodness of God in difficult circumstances. And so when she passed away, I know a lot of people get really angry at God when they lose someone that they love very dearly. And I looked at that situation and I said this, you know what? This is the mercy of God, because she's not experiencing any more of the pain, any more of the discomfort. She's fought the good fight. She finished her race. There's crown of righteousness that is laid up in store for her. And I looked at that situation and I didn't see being overcome with heartache. I saw, you know what? God is leading. Even during this season in the valley of the shadow of death, he's going to lead me through that in truth and mercy. Now, the reality is this: people blow it sometimes. Sometimes God's people blow it. Sometimes this pastor has blown it. So what do you do with that situation? I want to encourage you to do this. Go into the presence of God and say, God, I know Pastor Bob is just a man. He's trying to do his best, but he's just a man. And if he's fallen short, God, would you help reveal your truth in my life and help reveal the mercy? And God, I want to extend mercy to Pastor Bob. Let's hear it for mercy for Pastor Bob. Paul's here. Let's hear some mercy for Pastor Paul. And I say this, all the paths of God for your life and my life are mercy and truth. Let's let God teach us to walk those paths, and what a wonderful life it's going to be. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Shines through, I can feel this God song rising up in me.